what's the Arizal's way to get Ruach HaKodesh? If you're the Ari HaKodesh and you want some Ruach HaKodesh, how do you say it was the key to getting Ruach HaKodesh?
Seclusion.
That's definitely a good idea. Great thing to do, but no.
I was thinking about what these people do.
Shabbos.
Remember a hint, the pizza's coming soon. Shabbos is great.
Food.
Well, not food, but
bracha.
Says the Arizal, the way that he got Ruach HaKodesh was by the bracha Rishana.
So you're saying that after this year tonight we're going to get Ruach for this?
I think, when were you?
Ruach HaKodesh is coming out of the oven in 10 minutes.
When we're eating the pizza, we're mamish bringing down the Ruach, spreading that Ruach into the pizza,
into
our neshama, into the birkas mazon. Amazing. So excited for that pizza. I'm actually not hungry at all.
Do it for the chocolate story.
No, it's a good story.
Okay, you know the story?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it, but you brought up chocolate, so I have to. I'm going to say a story. I haven't been zocha to Ruach HaKodesh that many times in my life. In fact, I may have never been. I might be completely delusional. But one time in my life, I think maybe a little bit. Maybe like two or three. So here's a story, just as an intro. So I was in the army, and I've always had this weird thing that what I eat, I'm very careful. Like, I feel the effect of what I eat. So when I overeat, like I have that third slice of pizza, I feel very lethargic and disconnected from God. And when I'm like Erev Shabbos, I play frisbee, I have a smoothie, and I like don't eat so much, and I feel into it. I feel alive, you know. So in the army, I had my mom gave me a piece of chocolate, and a dark chocolate, and I get up to the base, and I had a salami sandwich, because I wasn't vegetarian back then, and I had my fill, I had my sandwich, and I was totally full, but then I felt the chocolate, and I said, my Yetzer Tov said, you guys remember, don't eat the chocolate, because it's just achilas gasa. Not a sin, but it's not good to overeat. It's not holy, right? But my Yitzhar Hara said, what? Keep it up. It's just a little extra time. You'll say it, you know. Whatever. It's no big deal. Come on, you're in the army. Every energy, something. Maybe something it's, you know, we rationalize. So they're like battling it out. My Yitzhar Hara, Yitzhar Tov. And then I'm like, I'll do a compromise. I'll learn a little extra while I eat the chocolate. So it's like a mitzvah or something. So it happened to be that Friday, I went to Meir Shearim and I bought the Chida, who's a great Kabbalist. And I bought this like book of Hanhagos of the Chida. So I opened up my black Chida Sefer, and I take out the chocolate, and the chocolate had melted and gotten all over me in the army sun. And it like got all over my page. And I looked at the page of the Chida, and it talked about how a person should not overeat. How a person, if he wants to be a holy spiritual person, he should have exercise self-control, and it's better to not eat that extra piece of whatever pizza than it is even to fast, because that's real self-control if you want to really get on. Not that I'm there at all, but that was pretty cool. They're like, yeah, I was overeating, and then the chida, the story, like, it was cool. It was cool. Anyways, so something I've always been interested in is this concept of like, do we have Ruach HaKodesh? What is Ruach HaKodesh? Do we have Ruach HaKodesh nowadays? And I will admit that this is more of an exploration of the topic, like part one of exploration. Sometimes I have a sheet, I know where I'm going. I don't really know where I'm going tonight. We're just going to have fun together, and we'll explore different topics. The reason I'm interested in this in particular is because maybe I'm the only one here, but I heard a lot of Dolim stories. Have you guys also heard about these Dolim stories about great rabbis who had Ruach HaKodesh? Yeah? So. Yeah, every Friday. So, if you want like chizuk in this, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is a whole. I have the whole set of six. It's also on the Lech Techav Derech for free. And when I was in the army this last Miluim, I was really bored, and so I read like the whole book, and it has all sorts of crazy miracle stories about his Ruach HaKodesh. All sorts of crazy. I can tell you a lot of crazy stories. And so I'm like wondering, like, do we still have that nowadays? How do you get that? And similarly about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's so many crazy stories. Go on YouTube, you can find a lot of them, about his crazy ability to know things. You know, one class famous example is the story with Ariel Sharon, that Ariel Sharon was supposed to get on a plane, and Lubavitch Rebbe kept saying, no, don't get on that plane, don't get on that plane, and he pushed him off, and then he stayed up all night. Ariel Sharon was like friends with Lubavitch Rebbe, and then it turned out that he didn't go on the plane, and that plane was hijacked, and they were looking for Ariel Sharon. And somehow he had this intuition, he had this Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that Sharon should not go on that plane. And so the question is, how do you get that? Do we still have that? I'm obviously giving away a little bit my opinion from the beginning. And another question that's related to that is, like, does that impact halacha? You know, right? Because is it like, did the rabbis have Ruach HaKodesh and that impacted how they, you know, ruled or not? And that's a big question. And obviously a lot of rabbis are very scared of talking about Ruach HaKodesh, that rabbis have Ruach HaKodesh. Why? What's the concern?
People are going to ask them to talk about their own.
No, I'm saying a lot of rabbis say no. They don't put a stress on rabbis having Ruach HaKodesh and the halacha coming from Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh.
Become too reliant on it.
First of all, we might become reliant upon it.
It's, and it's not a reliable source. It doesn't have anything. It might not have anything to do with what's actually in the chart.
Right, it might be disconnected, and plus, how do we know? Yeah, man.
Anyone could claim that they have Ruach HaKodesh.
Exactly. How do we know that random dude at the Kodel who's like, "Hey, he's a Mashiach"? Does he have Ruach HaKodesh? Does he not have Ruach HaKodesh? He tells you that, you know, do this. I've seen a lot. You know, seen this guy at the Kodel like get down on the floor in Modim on Shabbos and just be totally prostrated, and like he might say, "I, you know, God told me Ruach HaKodesh." So there's certainly a fear of talking too much about Ruach HaKodesh, but I'm a big believer of truth, and just because there's a fear doesn't mean we shouldn't, you know, try to see if we shouldn't throw the whole concept of prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh out there just because it might get misused. Right? We have to exercise caution, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't understand it. Yeah? Okay. So, the first source, before you even look at the source sheet, where do we see that we have this Ruach, that humans have the ability to tap into Ruach of Hashem, to the Spirit of God? What would be a great proof of that?
Story of Shaul.
Go chronologically. Before we even talk about the Navi, you're right about Shaul, but I'm saying chronologically, where do we see in the Torah that Jews and human beings can be privy to God's Spirit? Yeah?
When God breathes the breath of God into Adam, I think it's something that's Ruach Hashem.
That's why we brought him back. Come on. Right? It says in Bereishis chapter 2, verse 7. God breathed a soul into man. That's called our soul. God breathed a soul into us. So we have a soul. We're connected to God. That's the first case of Ruach HaKodesh. End of here. But pizza hasn't come, so we can't end this year. So we have to keep going. Beyond that, we definitely... That's neshama. We do have reference to the concept of Ruach HaKodesh. This is not in the source sheet. And honestly, don't worry so much about the source sheet. I'm not even sure if we're going to... How much of the source sheet... But there is one more. I'm not sure how much of this source sheet we're going to get through. Where do we see the word Ruach HaKodesh in the Torah itself? It doesn't actually appear too often. Ruach HaKodesh specifically. But it's in a song. So some of you might remember it. There we go, man. See, that's why we brought him back. Superstars. Right? So we say David HaMelech. We say davening. David HaMelech davens in Tehillim Nun Aleph. Al tal shlichenu milfanecha. Don't cast me aside. V'ruach kadshecha al tikach meni. And don't take this divine spirit from me. God, I want to have this divine spirit. So David HaMelech obviously believes he's privy to this thing called Ruach HaKodesh, and it's helping him daven and write this Sefer Tehillim. And even the Ibn Ezra over there says something really interesting. Let me find it. This is not on the source sheets in front of you, just to save some time. Ruach HaKodesh. Dang, source sheets ruin everything. All right, I'll just say it by heart. The Ibn Ezra says that David HaMelech was afraid that he was going to go on a lower spiritual level and not be privy to this special divine influx, which was flowing through him, and that's what he's praying for. Don't take this Ruach Kachacha Yemeni. That's what David HaMelech is asking for. So we have this concept of Ruach HaKodesh in the Torah, in the Nevi'im. The truth is, it's all over the place. If anyone has opened up your local Bible, you will find lots of examples of Ruach HaKodesh. Let's throw some examples out there. Think last week's parsha. Who is blessed with the Spirit of God?
Yaakov.
Well, both, you're right. Well, both of you. So Yaakov is blessed with what I'd call a nevuah, where God specifically says, don't be scared, I'm going with you down to Mitzrayim. So that's more like prophecy. Yosef, on the other hand, Paro calls him a man who has Ruach Elokim, is the Spirit of God. However, the difference is by Yosef, we don't specifically hear God speaking to him. We never find God saying, and God said to Yosef, say. How does God speak to Yosef?
Through dreams.
Through dreams, right? And if you were at the Parsha Shir, we were talking about how it's not, maybe he had to use his own life experiences to interpret the dreams, to unlock the mystery of what the dreams were about. So there's an intellect involved there. It's not just purely a gift from Hashem. Okay? So there we have a Ruach Elokim, but it's not as passive. Okay? So that's this week's Parsha. In other cases, it's more like, it seems like Ruach Elokim and Nevuah are used interchangeably. So anybody remember some stories in Tanakh where the Torah talks about the Ruach calling upon people? Yeah.
I feel like this is like very direct, but like Moshe when he gets to the burning bush.
It's pretty ishkach process. Last night I was learning the whole sugya of the burning bush together with Talmud, and that's exactly what some of the Mefarshim say, that this is a different level of revelation. It was actually a lower level of revelation according to some Mefarshim, and later Moshe Rabbeinu had a totally different, like he had Nevuah, which was what the Rambam said, not even comparable to any other, like, it's not really Nevuah, it's like a different category.
Yeah.
But yeah, that burning bush experience, according to someone, was actually Ruach HaKodesh. It was like a dream. Sforno says that. So that's a good example. Okay, good. What else? What other examples maybe of like Ruach HaKodesh types of experiences? Yecheskel in the Nevi at prophecy is all sorts of visions. Nachum, Yecheskel, Yeshaya, all those guys. Also, if you look at the word Ruach is used in the context of Gidon when he's fighting battles, not necessarily like having these crazy prophecies. He's fighting physical battles, and it says the Spirit of God rested upon him, and Shimshon, and there are examples of this Ruach coming upon people. So the word is a little bit unclear. Right, we talked about it in the beginning, right? That Shaul HaMelech had this Ruach Ra in a negative sense, and we're trying to figure out what exactly does Ruach Ra mean there. Good. Okay, so definitely we have this concept of Ruach HaKodesh in the Torah itself. The question is, what happened to that? Do we still have, can we still be privy to Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah nowadays? So there is a primary source which is very often quoted about this. I mean, where does the Gemara talk about whether we still can have Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh nowadays? Anybody know it? Okay. So, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Daf Yud Aled Amad Aleph, I'll read a few. Not on the source sheet, sorry. Tanu Rabbanu. Mishameitu Nevi'im Achreinim. Once the prophets died, Chagai Zechariah Umalachi, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. We no longer have Ruach HaKodesh. It was removed from the Jewish people. And so we don't have it anymore. And so if you ask amongst many, many people, I would say a lot of people will tell you, do we have Ruach HaKodesh nowadays? Well, a lot of people say, no, Gemara says that was only olden days. If you read the Sedoiros, we can't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. That was only in the time of the prophets, right? But it's not that simple. Because let's keep going. Let's listen to what the Gemara says. V'afal pikein, even though we don't have open prophecy, hayu mishtamshim bebat kol, we still are privy to bas kols. In Talmudic times, apparently there's still such a thing as a lower level of nevuah called a bat kol, a voice, an inner voice, and that we can still be privy to. Okay, and now the Gemara goes on an interesting story. Pam achat, you mesubim ba'aliyot beit Guria b'Yericho. They're chilling in Yericho. V'nat na'aleim batko min hashamayim. And a batko screams out, There's somebody here who is worthy that he should have the Shechina rest upon him like Moshe Rabbeinu. Whoa. Who's that guy? Let's see. But his generation is not worthy of it, and therefore he can't get the full revelation of prophecy. Anybody have any idea who it would be? Good guy? We pass him like his school stuff? Right, so Hillel, exactly. Not Nuchachamim at the end, but Hillel. Everybody looked at Hillel. They said, "Ah, Hillel." Because Shemit Amar Lav Hashem Chasidei Hashem Inav Talmudah Shel Ezra. He was a student of Ezra. He could have been zoche to Nevuah, but they were still getting the bat kol in the Gemara itself. Interestingly, which is telling them that that he should have been zoche, but since the door was not ra'oi, he couldn't get it. Yeah.
I have two questions. First. Yeah. What would be the difference between a bas kol and like Ruach HaKodesh? Both are like kind of like a divine revelation that you're hearing from Hashem.
Right, exactly. So that's something that we have to define. What is the difference? So let me see if I can read you in the words of the Derech Hashem. Okay. So Derech Hashem, I believe I wrote it out. I'm sure. Okay, here. Derech Hashem. Of course, who wrote Derech Hashem? Moshe Chaim Lutzado. What's his other sefer? Mesilat Yesharim. Now, what's Mesilat Yesharim really all about? Besides being a good Jew, what's, if you look at the structure of Mesilat Yesharim, what's the real goal of Mesilat Yesharim undercover? It's about becoming a prophet. It starts in the introduction. It quotes from Pinchas and Yair, says these are the steps you need to do in order to become a prophet. So each, you know, Zahiris, and then Zerizus, and then Nikias, it's all quoting from Pinchas ben Yair as to how to become a prophet. So actually, the Mesilas Hashem seems to believe in the concept of prophecy, even in our generation. Okay, or at least some level of prophecy. So how did the Hashem define it? It says, as a result of the attachment of the soul, a soul gains a degree of enlightenment completely beyond the powers of human reason. That's talking about prophecy, where it's something you're not even here. You're completely disconnected to your intellect, and that is nevuah. This happens as a result of the fact that the root is bound to it, that God is rooted to you. The power of prophecy is much greater than divine spirit. Divine spirit is a lower level of this idea of prophecy. So it seems like prophecy is pure, being completely disconnected from your intellect, and God just flowing through you. And Ruach HaKodesh, which might be equivalent to Bat Kol, it might be a lower level of Bat Kol, it depends how we define it, would be where you're not necessarily conscious that God is speaking through you. It's not like you were in a mystical moment and angels started speaking to you. But rather you're using your intellect, and either you feel something special, something different, or maybe even not. But somehow it's clear to you that this is a gift from God, that this is flowing through from God. Okay, and exactly how we define it is unclear. If we have time today, and if not today, next, we'll have to figure out like different rabbis and you know how they talk about that. What is Ruach HaKodesh? Yeah. But so far, what we're establishing is at least in the time of sages there was nevuah. Then in the time of sages there was a bas kol, and nevuah is like totally being disconnected, and Ruach HaKodesh is like your intellect still involved. And the thing that holds our generation back from getting nevuah nowadays is what? Why can't we get it? Why can't an individual be zoche to Ruach HaKodesh according to the Sanhedrin? Because the generation wasn't zoche. Meaning to say that if the generation would be different, maybe we could be zoche to it. Plus, the next question is this a hard and fast rule, or is this an agadah, which could be interpreted in different ways? Yeah, Mitch.
Do you think that implies maybe nevuah has some sort of like national element, whereas like Ruach HaKodesh could be more of like for a personal
kind of? I like it. It could be, yeah, it could be, you know, of course we have the Urim Metumim, which is all about, you know, it's a prophecy from God as to what to do, but that can only be taken out for the needs of the klal. You as an individual aren't supposed to do that. So that would be an interesting way of being modular. I didn't see that in Svarim, but that makes a lot of sense to me. In general, we assume that nevuah is not for a personal thing. It's always God flowing through you to the Nevi'im to get it to the people, not for you. You just have a buddy-buddy with God. Yeah? Which might explain why Yosef took that prophecy so seriously, because he viewed it as a nevuah, which had to be brought out to the people. And he had to bring it to fruition. And he couldn't just let it be another dream. Right? Okay.
What did Noah get?
Well, God spoke to him. So it's not so clear, but it seems like that's more like a straight-out conversation, nevuah type of thing. It seems like that. I mean, it doesn't explicitly say one or the other. My guess is that it seems like it was a God speaking to him. It wasn't just something he inferred on his own. And same thing with Abraham Avinu and the Akedah. And these are times that it was clear to them that God was speaking to them. Yeah?
Doesn't the Kuzari, like Rabbi Yehuda Levi, think that non-Jews can't get nevuahs?
It could be. I'm not sure, but the Torah seems to pretty clear that non-Jews do get nevuah. It happens a bunch of times that non-Jews do get nevuahs. Maybe I'm not familiar with that Kuzari. Maybe you would say that in general, non-Jews, you have to be on a certain level to get nevuah, but you know, there are exceptional situations. Eov, according to some opinions, wasn't even Jewish, and he gets nevuah. There are a lot of cases. Paro, Avimelech, God speaks to him a few times. So, yeah.
So is it possible that there's an aspect of both within any nevuah? Like, every Navi has their own style and perception of everything. If you look at a prophecy, you can clearly see that it's more likely to be one Navi and not another.
Sure.
So, like, it's possible that you have that personal thing. And
right. This is not a black and white science. They may definitely go into each other. A person might be zochet to Ruach HaKodesh on Tuesday and Sunday, you know, Navi, and Wednesday Sid, and be completely off the chart. Like David Melch says, Al tashlichein Ruach HaKodesh lefanecha. Like, you're not always there. It's an up and down, and there could be different levels for sure. Good point, Helen. Yeah. Okay. Now, in terms of. So let's see. So can people get Ruach HaKodesh nowadays? That's the question that I want to move to now. With that only time of the sages, when people are having these crazy revelations, or maybe later in history, even after the Talmud, maybe people could also get. Alright, so where were we? Do we still have Ruach HaKodesh now? So here's the thing. Rav Yosef Karo. So Rav Chaim Vital was a great rabbi. He was the main rabbi who brought the Kabbalistic Torah, the Arizal's Torah, into the universe through writing the Arizal's works. Okay? Rav Chaim Vital says, Ruach HaKodesh is a level that every Jew can attain. Even today. That's what he says. Even today. Even me. Even you, but especially you. So Rav Chaim Vital writes that. Similarly, Rav the Heilige Eish Kodesh writes in his Sefer Chovat HaTalmidim. I didn't find it now, but Bezrat Hashem, when I find it, I'll bring it to you guys. He writes similarly that every Jew has an obligation to strive, to search, to be a prophet. And where does he say that? He says, because Gemara says, if not prophets, we're the children of prophets. Which means we can grasp on to some level of Ruach HaKodesh, some level of prophecy. And, okay, maybe not the full extent, but we have an obligation to try to get there. Because you're a Jew. That's what every Jew is meant to be. Similarly, the Chazan Ish writes in his Sefer about this concept of Ruach HaKodesh not being some far thing that happened thousands of years ago, but something that real Jews living nowadays can encounter. Now the question is, how can they say that? Didn't we just learn in the Gemara that says that we don't have Nevuah anymore, we don't have prophecy. If we don't have prophecy, then how could it be that all these great rabbis are saying that every Jew can be Zocha to Ruach HaKodesh? What's going on? There seems to be a theory here. The Gemara is saying one thing, Rav Chaim Vital is saying another thing. What do we do with that? Any ideas? How could we have an Chassidic Gemara saying one thing, and we have Rav Chaim Vital and all these Chassidic Rebbes saying, no, we can be zochet to a certain degree of prophecy, even nowadays. So it seems like that Rav Chaim Vital and others would explain that Gemara to be an agadita, and not to be taken literally that there's no such thing as prophecy nowadays, but that in general, our generation is not one which is ra'ui to prophecy. But if there's a person like Mordechai Eliyahu or like Lubavitcher Rebbe who really purifies himself to the extent that really wants to be close to Hashem, perhaps that would be an exception to the general rule. Or perhaps another way of looking at it, even more radical, is that the prophet Yoel talks about how in the end of days there's going to be a new spirit of the Lord which is going to come upon the people of Israel. And so maybe you could say that we're living in the footsteps of Geula. We're living in a redemptive time. And times are different now. And maybe the Spirit of God is more able to be accessed in our generation than in previous generations. So we might be an exceptional generation. Maybe. That's just theorizing. Like I said, this year is more of a... I'm thinking with you guys out loud. I'm not sure. Maybe those are two ways which we can bring these together. Okay, I want to look for the last 10 minutes of Shir. Let's switch to one more off branch of this topic, and that's the question of: does Ruach HaKodesh ever affect how we pasken halacha? Okay, I'm sure many of you have heard the opinion that Chacham and Nevuah, two separate categories, Chacham Adif Minavi, right? And therefore, halacha has nothing to do with prophecy. Where'd you probably hear that from? I know my yeshiva. Maybe Rav Cook, or, but who here probably said?
Rabbi.
Rav David, I thought Rav David. Okay, whatever. A lot of rabbis say that. Okay, and it's true. They're not making it up. Where are they getting that from? Who I mean, there's a lot of rabbis, but who is the main expositor of this concept that halacha and prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh are two different realms that have nothing to do with each other? The Rambam, exactly. So this one we'll actually look at inside, I hope. Let's see, it's in page 1. The Gdamas of Rambam. Okay, you see the source number 1? This is the foundation of the whole Torah. A Navi is just like anyone else in most matters when it comes to halacha. If the prophet says pshat A, Eliyahu Navi says like this, and comes Abaya and says B, the Yomer Navi, Amar li Hashem, Perish Yonachan, but Eliyahu says, God told me that I'm right. Right? Basko, Ein Shomim Lo. We don't listen to him. Who cares? Ela Afilu Elef Navim Shekulam Ke Elisha Veliyahu. Eliyahu Elisha Perisha is a perish. Ve'elef Chachamim Chacham Perish. I bet Oto Perish. 1,000 Neviim, 1,001 Chachamim. Acharei Rabim Lahatos. Osim Kedivrei Elef Chachamim Chacham. Lo Kedivrei Elef Neviim Mufalgim. So the Rambam says it's straight, strong. We don't care about visions and prophecies. All we care about is using your brain to figure out rationally the halachic system. That's the halach. Yeah.
What about the Gemara? That I don't remember who the rabbi was, but he's like, if I'm right, then this carob tree will move, and like that is like the whole thing.
Lo b'shamayim.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's exactly what the Rambam's drawing from. Where's the Rambam getting this concept from? Because Rabbi Eliezer said, I have a divine prophecy. The Bas Kol is saying, I'm right. I'm right. God is telling me I'm right. And what is the Gemara teaching us there? Who cares? Who cares what the objective reality is? Lo b'shamayim, rabbinical Judaism. We do what the rabbis say, and that's God puts a stamp of approval on it. It doesn't matter what the objective truth is. It doesn't matter what the Bas Kol says. The objective truth is God wants you to listen to the system.
But yeah. The Gemara cites the Nevi'im all the time.
You're right. The Gemara does cite the Nevi'im. The Rambam would say that the Gemara cites the Nevi'im as a buttress, as an asmachta to support what they already... derived from other places of logic. That's how the Rambam says it. Wait. Exactly. And you can ask a lot of Shilas on that. Look at the fifth Barak and Brachas, how we learn about davening from Chana. You can ask a lot of Shilas, interesting sugya, but not for right now. But okay. That's how the Rambam would say it. I want to show you guys that there's another opinion out there. Okay? And that opinion is that of the Kuzari. not just the Kuzari, but the Kuzari is the famous philosopher who seems to present a different way of understanding this sugya. Okay, so look at source 2. The Kuzari says, the Kuzari asks, the king asks, how can it be if you can't add on to the Torah? Amar chaver lo nemar ze el lahamon. To the masses, we say that you can't add. Kedei shelo yichadshu misechlam yitchachmu midatam yikablu la'atzman torah mehakashatam kishmo she'osin ha'karaim. We don't want people to start darshaning things like the Karaites and thinking that they can make up whatever they want. And a prophet came and told me. So that's why we tell them this pshat that you can't be mechadish anything from God. Umaz here lishma min anavi'im achrei Moshe umin hakohanim vashoftim kmo she'amar b'navi navi akim lachem mikerev achichem kamocha ve'yam amro lo tesiva advar she'ani chayim mitavetchem amas diviti etchem al yidei Moshe ve'al yidei navi mikirbecha mi'achicha al atna'im anizkarim b'nevuah. Says the Kuzari, it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu, but even with the Nevi'im or Mechadish, that too you can't argue on. And even, he says, even with the Tana'im got from God, that too is included in the revelation from God. So in other words, the Kuzari is opening the door. He's saying, it's not just what Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Torah. The Nevi'im and what the rabbis say, that also could be a Ruach HaKodesh or a prophecy from Hashem, and that also can affect the halachic system, says the Kuzari radically. And watch this, says Rav Kook, who himself might have been, not might, was almost for sure, had a lot of Ruach HaKodesh. A lot of crazy stories about that too. Cook says in Igros Haraya, Shita to Kuzari, Heish and Nevuah Ruach HaKodesh, Misayea Lehorah. Nevuah helps a person make Psach, Horah, teaching. The Loki Devei Rambam. And he argues like on the Rambam. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. Okay? And even brings a proof. Moshe Kibbo Torah Misina Masar Lashul Lashul and Tkanim. The luck was transmitted. Tkanim Le Nevi'im. It's just a coincidence that the halacha was passed down to the Nevi'im and they just happened to have prophecy. And no, those aren't two separate facts. The fact that they were prophets also helped them understand what the halacha was. It wasn't that they were also, you know, amazing steigers and prophets. No, but the fact that they were prophet was linked to the fact that the halacha was like that. It says Rav Kook and the Kuzari arguing on the Shrama. So we have a World War III going on here. And this World War III continues to this day in terms of different rabbis and their psak, in terms of how much rabbis say it's purely based on the halachic system, the pure halachic system, and other rabbis who are willing to take other elements, spirituality, Kabbalah, and revelation into account in their psak. One famous rabbi, pretty important rabbi, who definitely seemed to be using other methods at some point. Well, I wouldn't say definitely, but definitely was not just a halachic master, but seemed to be also a prophet of, or at least privy to Ruach HaKodesh. Who am I referring to? Very famous rabbi, passed a lot of halacha, and privy to spiritual revelations.
Well, depending on
a lot of them, but
depending on what you mean by revelation, because he has some
Lubavitcher. Definitely Lubavitcher Rebbe. You're right, but I wasn't talking about Lubavitcher Rebbe because he's not known as a pop. He is a posse, but he wasn't like.
I feel like Ramosh Feinstein, but I don't know if he had.
So Ramosh Feinstein definitely does not talk about angels speaking to him and spiritual stuff like that. Okay. He's purely like logic, but I'm not saying that he didn't wrote about. But I was referring to the Beis Yosef. Rav Yosef Karo has a whole book, also to be found in Vlechta Chavderich, and it is about an angel and him talking and schmoozing, and an angel has all sorts of revelations. The angel also gives him Musar when he overeats and overdrinks. And they have all these schmoozes. And he's a spiritual master, and he's getting crazy revelations. Now, did that mean that he necessarily always, like that all of the Beis Yosef's halacha is based on spiritual revelations? Certainly not. I'm not saying that at all. And certainly the Beis Yosef was a super genius, and he explains what he's getting from based on Gemaras and Pesach and this and that. And don't get me wrong. But he also brings the Arizal into the equation sometimes. And I wouldn't be shocked if his spiritual side didn't also have an influence on the halacha that he paskin. So sometimes we have this myth that there's like halacha and like spirit, and they're two different things. And actually, I think one of the ideas of Rav Kook, and Heschel also talks about this, is that in this generation, it's our job to be the blending of the Ruach HaKodesh and the Halacha. And they're not necessarily two completely separate realms, but they one must be upon the other. Okay, because I don't want to take too much time away from you all, I guess my closing words is that my personal opinion is that it's very, very hard to get prophecy. I haven't been privileged too often. Even Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. I don't know how to get that, or how to, I can't really tell you. But I think that the Leish Kodesh is right, that we're the children of Nevi'im, and that we have an obligation to strive to not just be good people, not just be sweet people, that's great, but to be holy people who are yearning to cling to the divine, and to be great Talmidei Chachamim, who the divine spirit flows through them. And I do believe that there's a divine Siyata Deshmaya that flows through great tzaddikim, and that helps us get to the halachic conclusions sometimes. But the thing is, we don't always know whether it's God and whether it's not. So we have an obligation to use our logic, and we can't just say, well, the rabbi said it, therefore it's Ruach HaKodesh, I can't argue on it. No, we have to use our brain. And if Rashi doesn't make sense, I say, well, if Rashi doesn't make sense, I don't just assume that Rashi is written with Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore I can't argue on Rashi. I use my brain. That's what the Ramban does. He argues on Rashi. But at the same time, we also, it could be, it really could be that God was flowing through them. And we have to have that humility. And the main takeaway is that we should learn Mesilas Yesharim. So it's a good guidebook about how to become prophets. We should all be zochah to be prophets together. Okay.